If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter, I want to continue on with the little series I've been doing on the terms of service of a disciple. And we've been in Matthew, the 16th chapter, looking at verse 24 for several sermons now. And I want to read that to you. It says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." We have looked at what it means to deny yourself and what it means to take up your cross. And last week we looked at, or the week before last, we looked at one way that we can follow the Lord. And in that sense, we talked about how in modern times you follow somebody maybe through social media platforms because you're interested in what they are doing, what they've got going on. And so you kind of plug into that and you keep a watchful eye on them. And so we asked the question last week as far as following the Lord. Are you interested in what he's doing, the work that he's doing, what he has done? Are you interested in his church? Are you interested in his word? Things like that. But when he says to follow me, that's a pretty broad stroke there. So I wanted to look at a couple different ways in which we follow the Lord as far as being a disciple. So again, the Lord says, if you're going to be my disciple, here are the terms of service. Here are the things that I require of my disciples: deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so when we think about following something, I had written a long list of different things that we follow or why we follow them. I just narrowed it down to a few. But when you think about following something, it's probably comes to a lot of people's minds that we follow directions, do we not? Following directions. And I came up with my own definition of following directions and why we follow directions. And we follow directions to come to an accomplished end. Does that make sense? To come to an accomplished end. You may think of you follow the directions of a recipe. And when you're cooking, you take out that cookbook and you're planning on making a particular type of meal. And so you follow the directions. Take so much of this and so much of that, mix it together and heat it and stir it and all blah blah, and go on and so forth. And you're following those directions because the end that you want to have is a certain end. It's an accomplished end where you maybe have a loaf of bread or a pot of chili or a casserole or whatever. You don't just kind of willy-nilly go in there and say, well, I'm just going to look through my pantry and get a bunch of stuff and throw it in a pot and kind of do it how I think it ought to be done. If you do that, you're not going to get to the end that you're looking for, that accomplished end. You can think about all different types of examples. Driving, if you leave out here, I'm one of those people that have, I don't want to remember something unless, it's something I have to remember. And so GPS has come along. So if the GPS will tell me how to get from here to a church in Mississippi, well, I'm not going to, I'm not really looking for landmarks and all that, and probably couldn't get back there if I had to because I'm dependent on the GPS. And so when that GPS tells me turn right, turn left, go here, go there, whatever, if I want to get to that accomplished end of arriving to that place, that my destination, then I've got to follow those directions. And, I think about, I watch Tiffany sometimes. Tiffany likes to crochet, and she'll pull up these directions on her phone of how to, make a certain type of blanket. And only people that crochet would have a clue what those things mean. I mean, it really looks like it's written in a foreign language, but she's following those things. It's, all right, do this particular, I don't know if it's a stitch or a knot, I don't know the right term, but do these types of stitches and do so many, and then you get to this, and then do change it to this. And if she wants to get, a blanket or a whatever she's making to the end goal, that accomplished end, she's got to follow some directions, correct? So we follow directions to get to an accomplished end. Now, the problem with mankind, with a fallen flesh, is that we have trouble sometimes following directions. And I think there's reasons for that. I jotted down three reasons that I think we have trouble following directions, or at least why I have trouble following directions at times. Number one is because sometimes we do things based on our idea that we just have a good understanding of the big picture. A good example of that would be, there's times that I've maybe gotten, some toys or something for the kids, and you got to put those things together, and you pull out the instructions, and you got these pieces all out, and you got your instruction book over here. sometimes I've looked at that and thought, you know what, I know what's going on. And I literally will look at the picture of the assembled product on the box and just think, well, I've got a pretty good idea of what's going on here because I see the big picture. And so I'm just going to go at it and put it together and get to that what that picture looks like. Sometimes that works out and sometimes it doesn't. I have found sometimes that when you start snapping these plastic pieces of toys together, they are, you either can't get them apart or you have to break them to get them apart. And so you start assembling that based on the big picture, and then you come to find out, oh, I have got to put that piece before that piece. And now I've gotten to a point where I'm just going to either have to break it or really, really pry to get this off because I didn't follow the directions. I thought I knew better just looking at the big picture. Sometimes we have trouble following directions because we think we know better than the person that designed it. Think about that. Sometimes we have trouble following directions because we think we know better how something should go than the person that actually designed it. I've run into trouble with that too. You know, I start putting things together and I think, you know what? I really think this is how this ought to go together. Only to come to find out in the end of it all, they really knew what they were talking about. I just didn't really have the understanding that the person that designed it had, so I end up with a mess. And sometimes we just think the directions are wrong. I've been guilty of that too. Like, they're telling me to put part A over here onto part B, but I just don't think that's right. I'm going to put C over here because I think A needs to go here. My point is this. Whether we follow directions because we think we have a better or a good idea of what the big picture is, or we just think we know better than the designer, or we just think the person that made it's wrong. Oftentimes when you don't follow directions, you end up having to redo or start over. There have been, I can remember several examples to my shame. I can remember one time, they regard putting tree stands together, metal ladder stands. I can remember one time I was putting together a metal ladder stand and got close to the end, and I had to just put the braces that held the platform to the ladder so you had some support there, and I get it. I said, man, I'm almost done with this thing. I slide that brace up there, and I go to grab the last bolt and the last washer and everything, and I slide it in there, and the bolt is about that far too short. And I think, well, you know what I thought initially? Well, they just sent the wrong bolt. They just messed the whole thing up. But I went back looking at a string of bolts, and I realized that I've got one bolt compared to the other ones that's that much too long. And what happened is I put all that together that I just thought, well, you know, this bolt, this worked. And anyway, I have to disassemble a lot of that to get the right bolt for the right hole. Because I just didn't really follow directions. The boys and I were putting a tree stand up probably 6 months ago, and I took them to help me, you know, push it up into the tree, and I assembled it all at home, put it in the truck, took it to where I was going out in the middle of the woods and go to get the straps on it together, and I realized that I've got a piece backwards. Because I said, well, I've put plenty of tree stands together. I know what's going on. I've got it backwards. I'm in the middle of the woods, and like somebody that's very intelligent, had no tools with me, and I basically had to just kind of make do. So when we don't follow directions, we find ourselves in a bind. We find ourselves having to start over and redo things. So when the Lord says, follow me, the Bible is full of directions for the child of God. It is full of directions for a disciple. The question is, do we follow those? Do we? Because ultimately speaking, if my death is such a death where I have time to reflect back on my life. Now, my death may be instant. I don't know. But if my death is one of those, like Paul and Peter, they said, hey, my time is drawing near. If I have time to reflect back on my life and look at all the things that have happened in my life Will I be able to say, I followed the Lord's directions and I came to an accomplished end of being satisfied with the work I did in the kingdom during my lifetime? Or will I say, you know what? I didn't really follow the Lord's directions. I had to do a lot of redoing. I had to do a lot of starting over. That caused me a lot of frustrations in my life. And I have more regret than I do satisfaction in those moments. Now, there are some great men in the Bible who looked back on their life and had regret instead of satisfaction. One man you can read about whose name is Moses. If you know, Moses led the people out of bondage in Egypt to a land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his forefathers. And there is a time that as they travel through the wilderness to the promised land, there's a time that everybody is very thirsty. And you can read about this in the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers and some in the book of Deuteronomy. And the Lord tells Moses to take his staff and to go to this particular rock. And he tells Moses to strike the rock. And so Moses strikes the rock. And when he does, water comes pouring out of the rock. And the Bible says it was so much water that was able to feed their all the people, which was a ton of people. And all their cattle and all their animals. And so some time goes by, and that same scenario presents itself to where these people are still thirsty. They've run out of water. Their herds are dying of thirst. And the Lord tells Moses, he says, I want you to take your rod again and go to a rock. But this time I want you to speak to it. Not don't hit it like you did the first time. I want you to speak to it. So what has he given him? He's given him some directions. Now, the question is Moses going to follow those directions? Or is Moses going to look at it and say, I see where we're going. I see where this is going. Which you think in our human nature is, well, he told me to pick up the rod. If he's like me, he heard that part and he filled in the rest of it. You ever do that? You ever anticipate what somebody's going to say once they start saying something like, okay, I see where you're going. I see where you're going. I wonder if that happened to Moses because he's flesh just like we are. He's got the experience of striking the rock already. And then he hears the Lord in Numbers 20 say, all right, Moses, I want you to take your rod. And I wonder if that's all he heard. And he said, I see the big picture here. I know where you're going with this. So I don't really have to listen too intently to what you're about to say because Moses is frustrated. Why is Moses frustrated? He's frustrated because he's got all of these people that he's been leading, griping and bickering that this is not going like we thought it would go and we should have gone back to Egypt. I'd rather die in it. And he's frustrated. Moses is probably thinking, do you not see how the Lord delivered you from all this and you're griping and complaining? Moses is frustrated. He probably, I'm being a little presumptuous, he probably heard the first half of what the Lord said and said, yeah, I see where you're going, Lord. And he goes over there and he hits the rock. And the Bible says he hits it twice. So he probably hits that rock and thinks, uh-oh, let me try that again. And he hits it again and the water comes out. Now that's a whole different sermon. That sometimes God is merciful to his people, even when we don't do things the way we're supposed to.
That's right.
So the water comes from the rock. But you know what the Lord tells Moses? He says, you've rebelled against me because you didn't follow my directions. I told you something to do and how to do it, but you chose to do it your own way. And another sermon for another day again is sometimes one act of disobedience can carry very long consequences. And he tells Moses, he says, look, don't you know Moses wanted to see that promised land? As he led these people out of Egypt and he'd been encouraging them and telling them all along, don't you know he wanted to put a foot on that land? And the Lord says, because you rebelled against me and did not follow my directions, I will let you see it, but you can't go in it. And so you read over in the book of, at the end of Deuteronomy, where Moses gets to go up on the mount. And I think this is very interesting. And again, I can't tell you for certain. But again, talking about the Lord's mercy and our mistakes, he allows Moses to go up on top of the mount to see the promised land. But he tells him, but you can't go in it because you rebelled against me when I told you to speak to the rock, and you didn't follow my directions, and you smote it. And it says, when Moses went up and looked, and he dies, it says Moses was 120 years old when he died. Notice this. It says, but his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. That's saying Moses was a healthy man. Moses didn't die of old age right here. I think the Lord basically in his mercy took Moses. Because the options were you stay by yourself in the wilderness while everybody else goes over, or I've got to break my promise that I told you you're not going in. It's interesting that it says his eye was not dim and his natural force was not abated. Is the Lord not merciful? Amen. He was merciful to Moses right here. And my belief is that he just took Moses. Moses died because the Lord took him. Right. Now, we could go on and look at other examples, but I won't for the sake of time. But go read about King Saul. When King Saul did not fully follow the Lord's directions, and it cost him his kingdom. So, great men of God at times sometimes think they just maybe know better than the designer. Maybe they think, well, I see the big picture. I see where we're going. Or maybe they think that what the Lord's saying is just wrong. You know, we got a lot of that going on. Let's look at marriage. Are there not people out there that proclaim Christ, but say, but he got it a little bit wrong when he said man and woman? We do it. People think that the directions are wrong, or that they know better than the designer does. Sometimes even in regular marriages, people think, oh, I see the big picture. Man and woman, house, white picket fence, little dogs, some children, grow old together. I see the big picture. I got marriage. But they don't really follow the directions.
Right.
And they end up having to live in regret or redo, start over. I don't say that to be harsh, but that's just our human nature. We're fallen. So, do you follow the Lord's direction to get to an accomplished end? The Bible speaks about, in the book of Hebrews and the book of Timothy, the Bible speaks about life being like a race, and it also speaks about life being like a fight. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, it says, in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That is life. That is the race of life. In the book of 2 Timothy, I want to read these to you because I think they're important. In the book of 2 Timothy, in the 4th chapter, Paul writes to Timothy in verse 6, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So Paul has got some time to reflect here on his life. And this is what he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's a man that looks back on his life and his moments of dying and departing from this world and says, you know what? From the time that I was born again, from that point forward, I can look back on my life and say, I followed the Lord's directions to get to an accomplished end. An accomplished end is a man that can lay on his deathbed and said, when I look backwards, I can say that spiritually speaking, for the sake of the kingdom, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. That is an accomplished end. How do you get to that point? You do it by following direction. You do it by following God's direction. So the question would be, what about us? What about our end? I'm guilty of this, and I look around and I see people that are guilty of this. Sometimes we look and think, well, look, we pour sometimes so much time and so much money into things that spiritually speaking are just not important. And we forsake the spiritual things of the kingdom of God to pursue certain things. And when our end comes, do we really want to look back and say, boy, I built this great worldly empire, or I had all these tremendous worldly accomplishments, you know, whether it's business or sports or whatever. Is that really what we want? That's not really the end, the accomplished end that the child of God should be looking for. The accomplished end is not to say, I excelled and built empires and had all these worldly accolades, and I was in magazines and I had plaques with my name on them and all this stuff. I was known among people for how good I was at worldly things. If I am on my deathbed, like Paul seems to be at least close to it, that's not what I want to look back and say I accomplished. That's not the end that I really want. Because I think a lot of times, if that's the route we take, we lay on our bed and we say, I forsook my children and my marriage and the church and my prayer life and my spiritual life and all of these things that really matter. I ignored them. And you lay there and you close your eyes and die in regret. Now, is the Lord merciful like he was to Moses? And when you close your eyes, maybe dying with grief and regret on your mind to open them up to see the Lord? Absolutely. Amen. He is merciful. But will you lay there with regret or sorrow or frustration? Or will you lay there with satisfaction? Solomon, the man, wisest man who had more than probably all of us combined will ever have, at the end of his days, he said basically this: everything worldly is vanity and vexation of my spirit. He said, the end of it all, my main conclusion. You ever like to just skip to the end and get the conclusion? The main conclusion, he said, is to fear God and keep his commandments. Why? Why would he say that? Because he'd been there and he had done that, and he knows when I'm laying there dying, drawing my last breaths, I want to be able to say, I followed the Lord's directions on how to live, how to love, how to forgive, how to raise children, how to operate in my marriage. I followed his directions. I didn't go at it like I think I've got it all figured out. I didn't go at it like he was wrong and I had a better idea. And I didn't assume some things. I followed his directions and I came to an accomplished end. So Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. So ask yourself, are you following the Lord's directions for your life? Or are you kind of going about it like maybe you've got a little better grasp of what direction your life needs to go than he does? Because if that's how you feel, don't be surprised if you have to redo some things, start over on some things, and find yourself at the end of your days living with some regret.